Yesterday's parasha, Parashas Beshalach, talks about the man. There are many different halachas that are derived from the man. Most notably, the mitzvahs of Suda Shabbos and Lechem Mishnah. So I'd like to talk about just a little bit. There's so much in both of these sugyas, but just a few of the lemaisa shailas that come up related to Suda Shabbos and to Lechem Mishnah. What is the source of Suda Shabbos? What's the mechayev of Suda Shabbos? So interestingly enough, the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed says that the source is a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. We know that there are two mitzvahs mentioned in the Torah regarding Shabbos, that Zochar v'Shamer Dibra Echad Emru. There's Zochar, the mitzvah of Kiddush, the mitzvah Saseh of Shabbos, there's Shomer Yom HaShabbos Lekatsho as well, Shmir Shabbos, that's the Lama Tes Malachas. But then the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed Halacha Aleph, says that there are two mitzvahs of Shabbos that come Divrei Kabbalah, and that is, of course, Kavod v'Oneg, the Karasa Shabbos Oneg, Lukdosh Hashem Mechubot. The Karasa Shabbos Oneg means that we're supposed to be Ma'aneg as Hashem, supposed to beautify the Shabbos in some way. What does that mean? So the Rambam continues to describe there in Halacha Zayin that Oneg means you're supposed to have a nice meal, Tav Shel Shamin B'Yoser, supposed to spend money for Shabbos and to have a nice Suda for Shabbos. So this seems to be the Makar of Suda Shabbos according to the Rambam. This is one Makar. On the other hand, the Gemara in Shabbos and Akuf Yud Zayin on the base says that the Mokar for Suda Shabbos is from the month. The Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, Ichlu Hayom Ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem Hayom Losim Tzehu Basadeh. He uses the word Hayom three times in the Pasuk. Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. So that's the Mokar, says the Gemara, that you have to have at least three Sudas. At least three Sudas. There's one day in the Gemara that holds you need four Sudas, but we pass them like the day that you need three Sudas. So it sounds like the Mokar for Suda Shabbos from the Gemara in Shabbos is from the mon, Ichlu Hayom, the three times Hayom that's said regarding the mon. Is it Daraisa? Is it Rabbanan? There's a discussion in the Poskim. Some say, well, he's a Makoros, Minatora, Divrei Kabbalah, Kedivrei Torah Dami. Certainly, if you hold Ichlu Hayom is the Makar, maybe that should be derived from the Torah. But others say it's just an Asmachta Ba'alma, maybe it's only the Rabbanan. It's a discussion what the level of the Chiyav is. But there clearly seem to be two different Makoros for Suda Shabbos. Either it's a part of Oneg Shabbos, or it's learned from the Ma'an Ichlu Hayom. What's enough Gemina between the different timing? So, first of all, how many Sudas does one have to eat? How many Sudas does one have to eat on Shabbos? So, based on Oneg Shabbos, one should only have to eat two Sudas. There's a concept, the Gemara in Psochim on Daf Kufei says that Kavod Yom is Odif Mikvod Laila. That the kavod of the Yom HaShabbos is more important than the kavod of the Laila Shabbos. It sounds like mitzad kavod va'oneg is a chiyav to eat two sudas, one at night and one by day. One at night and one by day. The kavod of the Yom is odif. That means if you have special foods, you really should leave it for the daytime meal. If you have a larger challah, you should leave it for the daytime meal. It becomes tricky. Sometimes if you're having a lot of guests, so to leave the larger challah for the daytime meal is going to be left over. You know, it's a little tricky. But if everything is equal, you happen to have two different sizes of challah, you should have the bigger challah for the daytime meal, because the kavod of the sudas hayom is other from kavod laila. But it sounds like mitzad oneg is a chiyuv to have two sudas on Shabbos. If it's midin echlu hayom, so obviously there'd be a chiyuv to have shalosh sudas also, to have three sudas, because echlu says hayom three times. It's a very important nafkamina. Mitzad oneg, there's a chiyuv only to eat two. Mitzad echlu hayom, there'd be a chiyuv to eat three. What's another nafkamina between the timing? Do you have to have bread? Do you have to have bread for the Suda? Or is it enough to have other macholim? The Rashba in Brachas on Daf Mem Tes happens to say that Oneg is Mechayev and Pas. That even Oneg is Mechayev and Pas. Well, maybe I should say Oneg, not even Oneg, but Oneg is Mechayev and Pas. That Oneg Shabbos requires you to eat bread. Right? Oneg requires you to eat bread. So based on what we said before, if Oneg is Mechayev Pas, that should imply that there is a Chayev to eat Pas for two Sudas, the night Suda, and one day Suda. Now, from the Rambam, you don't get any Mokar, right? It's not clear that Oneg is Mechayev and Pas. The Rambam talks about beautiful Macholim, delicious, tasty Macholim. Doesn't mention bread when he describes Oneg. So it would seem as though, according to the Rambam, the Mechayev Pas is not Oneg, but rather the Pasuk Echlu Hayom, the Mon. Machlokas, the Rashba, and the Rambam, what's the Mechayev HaPas? What's the Mechayev HaPas? And in fact, we find in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Reish Tari Aleph Sif Hei, that there's a Machlokas several days whether you need bread for Shalosh Sudas. You have to have bread. Some say that you have to have bread. Some say mezonos is enough. Some say mina targima, you can have like fruit. All different kinds of shittas. What they're grappling with is, how do you know that you need bread in the first place? Right? If you assume that oneg is mechayev and pas and not echlu hayom, so then it makes sense that shalosh shittas shouldn't require pas at all. Right? The only way that you require shalosh shittas to have bread is if you hold that echlu hayom is mechayev and pas. If echlu hayom is not mechayev and pas, there is no makor to say shalosh shittas is that you chayev to have bread for shalosh shittas because oneg is not mechayev you in shalosh shittas to begin with. Right, so the only way that one day in Shulchan Aruch that says that you have to have bread for Shalosh Shudis, that day must hold that Echlu Hayom is Mechayiv bread. It's Mechayiv you to eat bread, and that's why there's a chiyuv to have bread even for Shalosh Shudis. This is how the Mishnah Berurah explains there, the Reish Tari Aleph of Kat Mechav Beis. And it's all a function of whether Echlu Hayom is Mechayiv to have bread. How do we pass in the Maisa? So the Mechaber is Machmer. The Mechaber is Machmer, you should have bread even for Shalosh Shudas. Not just for the first two meals, but for the Shalosh Shudas as well. But in Simen Kuf Pei Ches, where he talks about different Haskaras that you have in Birchas HaMazon, he talks about Ritzei. So there he points out that if you forget Ritzei in Shalosh Shudas, says the Mechaber, you don't have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. Because we know that the only time you have to repeat Birchas HaMazon is if there's a Chi of Suda. There's an absolute obligation to have a Suda. L'moshel, Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a mitzvah to have a suda, but there's no obligation. It's different. It's a different level. It's a mitzvah l'chatchila to have a suda as Rosh Chodesh. It's not an obligation. So if you forget Yalav Yavar, Rosh Chodesh, then you don't repeat the Birchas HaMazon. You're supposed to mention it, but you don't repeat it if you forgot. So says the Mishnah Berurah. So that's the same thing over here. The Mechaber is machmir to assume that you should have bread for Shalosh Shudas. That's a chumrah. There is another sheet that holds that you don't need bread for Shalosh Shudas. So with the Eved, if you bench, then you don't know if you said Mitzay or not. So with the Eved, we'll make it for the other sheet. Right? Maybe Taka, you don't need bread. So if you don't need bread, you're not supposed to bench again. So with the Eved, we'll make it for that sheet, not to repeat benching if you forgot Mitzay in Shalosh Shudas. What comes out is, let's say a person forgets Mitzay in the second meal. Of Shabbos, the first meal by day. He said Ritzei at night. But he forgot it in the first meal by day. So does he have to repeat the benching? So l'chora, based on this, he shouldn't have to repeat the benching because he could still mention Ritzei and Shalosh Shudas. Now, he has to be very careful to mention Ritzei and Shalosh Shudas. If he forgets Ritzei and Shalosh Shudas or doesn't know whether he said it in Shalosh Shudas, then he has to repeat the benching. But as long as he still has Shalosh Shudas coming, then he could still. He doesn't have to repeat the benching because he'll have another benching. And he can be yotze the mitzvah of oneg with that suda too. Right? The mitzvah of oneg might be mechayev pas. Right? So if he forgot the bench, if he forgot ritzei at night, it sounds like he really should repeat the benching. That's what it sounds like. Right? If he forgot the ritzei at night. But he's not going to have three sudas by day. If he forgot ritzei at night, then he should repeat the benching. If he forgot ritzei in the first suda by day, still a Shalosh Shudas, even if Echlu Hayom is Mechayev and Pas, if he forgot the Ritzei in the first Suda by day, so if Echlu Hayom is not Mechayev and Pas, so only Oneg is Mechayev and Pas, he can still be Yotzei Ritzei with the benching Shalosh Shudas. So he wouldn't repeat the benching in the second meal. And by the same token, if he mentioned Ritzei in the second meal, but forgot it for Shalosh Shudas, so again, you wouldn't repeat the benching, because as long as you have that one meal that you yotze the din of Oneg with, and you said Ritzei for that one meal, so then we're not going to repeat the benching for the other meal. Okay. There's more to talk about with Suda Shabbos. We've discussed on other occasions whether there's a concept of Shalosh Shudas on Yom Tov or not. It's also relates to this issue, but we're going to leave it out for now. Let's move to Lechem Mishnah. Let's talk a little bit about Lechem Mishnah. So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Ayin Dalet Sif Aleph writes, Chayev Levtzoa Al Shtei Kikor Shleimot, that there's an obligation on Shabbos to be Botzea on Lechem Mishnah, both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Exactly, Machlokes Midrashim, whether they had Lechem Mishnah Erev Yom Tov. The Tosis in Beitz on that, Beitz on the Beitz quotes it. But what machmer to assume that you need Lechem Mishnah even on Yom Tov? Regarding Sudas Yom Tov, the Shalosh Shudas of Yom Tov, so many are make, even if l'machmer for lechem mishnah, but for shalashudis, they make a lan yomtiv. It's a stira. They both relate to the mon. So the answer is not for now. There is an answer to the question, but that's the psak halacha. That we have lechem mishnah both on Shabbos and on yomtiv. But lechem mishnah on what? So the Shulchan Aruch says shtei kikara shleimos, that you have two kikara shleimos. It's important to have shalim. That the two kikara should be full. What is shalim? So the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mefarshim say, that even if the kikar is cut, it can still be shalim. Right? Let's say the loaf of bread was cut down a little bit, but the piece is still holding on. If you picked up one side of the bread, the other piece would still hold on. Sometimes, if you bake challah, you know, so you got to be very careful when you say hamotzi on Shabbos to hold the challah in such a way, because if not, it'll just fall down. You know, it'll split. So if the challah is cut in such a way that if you pick up one side, the other part is going to fall down, that's not called shalim anymore, that's called nechtach. But as long as it can hold on, as long as, even if it's holding on for dear life, but as long as the other piece can hold on, it's still called a shalim. The Mishnah Berurah, in fact, points out, there in Reish Ayin Daled, he quotes the Ramah in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Aleph, in Hevel Ketzias HaPas. The Ramah says that on Shabbos, we don't cut the loaf of bread before making hamotzi. What does that mean, cutting the loaf of bread? The Ramah seemed to, the Shulchan Aruch there, in Kuf Samach Zayin, says that before you make hamotzi, you should cut the bread a little bit. Cut the bread, leave the knife in the cup, then make hamotzi, then finish the cup. Why? Because we don't want there to be too much of a hefsek between the hamotzi and the achila. So, if you're going to first make the hamotzi and then start cutting, that can take a lot of time. It can take a lot of time, right? We see this on Shabbos. You have a big challah, right? The person makes a hamotzi, everyone's like sort of waiting, trying to cut. It's in cut big pieces, small pieces. You know, if there are 10 people at the table, if you're going to cut big pieces for everyone, you know, so by the time you finish, the kids, you know, all of the little kids, they've all run into the den already because they just can't wait. So it can take a long time. So the Shulchan Aruch says you really should cut through the bread. I think he's talking about if you have a big loaf. You know, for us, in most circumstances, you know, if you have a piece of bread, you're not gonna put the whole piece in your mouth, but you're gonna cut off a little piece. There is no hefsek there. If you have a small loaf of bread, a challah roll or something, so there's no real hefsek there. I'm not sure that this halacha really applies so much. You don't see so much that people are cutting the loaf before the hamotzi, cutting into it. Technically, mitzad adin, it sounds like one should be doing that. One should cut in, you know, to try to minimize the hefsek. But says the Ramah, on Shabbos, you don't do that. On Shabbos, you don't cut into the loaf because we're afraid that you'll make it into a non-shalim. So that idea, that chumrah that some have, we're not going to do. Right? Even if it's a big loaf, can't do it. We don't cut in at all. Because you cut in a little bit, then you cut in more, you'll make it into a nechtach, it won't be a shalim, and then you'll lose out on the lechem mishnah of shtei kikar shleimos. There's an inyan for it to be shalim. The Achronim also point out an interesting case. What happens if you have like challah rolls that are baked together? Now, very often you have challah rolls even when you buy them. You buy them in a bag, and when you open the bag on Shabbos, you see two challah rolls are attached to each other. So what are you supposed to do? Is that one lechem or is it two lechem? The poskim say that if you can separate them easily, they're made to be separated. That's called shalim. Each one is a shalim. That's not viewed as breaking the challah, right? They got attached in the afia. That's not called breaking the challah. That's still called shalim. And you should pack or break them apart. Break them apart so that you'll have two kikaras. You'll have two kikaras, but that's still called shalim. How much does it have to be broken off in order for it not to be shalim? This is very relevant in many circumstances, most especially when it comes to matzah, right? Matzah shavura. So you have a matzah, even machine matzahs, right? Most machine matzahs are full, but sometimes at the end, the corner is broken off. Something, especially you know, hand shavura matzahs. There's a lot of breakage over there with the hand. So what's called shalim? What's not called shalim? Now, obviously, we'd love to have it to be fully shalim. You look around. You look around the black line. That's completely baked and burnt and properly all around. Obviously, if it's shalim completely, that's fine. That's the best thing, right? But let's say it's not. Let's say some of it is broken a little bit. What's the thing? Is it still called a shalim? So the Shari Tshuva and Siman Reish Ayin Daled, it's a Kodesh Malchus HaRishonim. Let's say it's broken off less than 1/48 of the challah or of the matzah. What's 1/48? Will they get that number from you, Barry? No, that's the shear of challah. Right? The shear of hafrashas challah is really to take 1/48 of the isa. That's what the Mishnayos talk about. So that's a shear chashev for challah. It's a shear chashev legabe defying the lechem. So some Rishonim say that the shear is that it has to be chaser more than 1/48 in order to be viewed as a kikar chaser. But if it's less than that, then it's still viewed as a shalim. Still viewed as a shalim. Yeah. The Aruch HaShulchan is not so sure. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. He says he thinks if anything is broken off, we should pass him like those Rishonim said that if anything is broken off, it's not called a shalim. He brings a raya from Hilchas Erevin. Okay, not for now, but he seems to be more mach that it's not called a shalom even if a little bit is broken off. Many poskim are making for this shita that as long as it's a very small amount, then b'di'evit, if you have nothing else, then this is what you should use. This is what you should use, and it is called a shalom. If you have two full rolls, if you have two full matzahs, it's better to use the full matzahs. But it's not like it's not called a shalom. You don't have to go to your neighbor to get a shalom. You know, if less than 1/48 is broken off, which often that's what it is. If you have like a little piece of a matzah broken off on the corner, it's hard to believe that it's more than 1/48. Sometimes it is, but you know, sometimes if it's just a little bit, then that should be sufficient. You'll be able to use that as a shalim. What happens if you don't have shleim? Let's say you only have prusas. So the Netziv in his Tshuvas Meishiv Dover writes that the minhag of his father-in-law was that someone who came late to Shabbos Suda, someone came late to the Suda, they would give him a prusa. They would give him two pieces of bread. And they'd say, make lechem mishnah on that. You know, who would come late to the Suda? They must have been learning. You know, they were in Valoshin, right? So they must have been learning. So they got fatracht in the Suda and they came late or whatever it was. So he says in the tshuva that that's what his father-in-law used to do, that they would give two chatichas. It's not a crazy thing to do. If that's all you have, that's all you have. There's an inyan. There's an inyan to use even two pieces of bread for lechem mishnah because it's still two. Rav Moshe talks about another shaila. What happens if you have a full challah, but it's frozen? Can that count as lechem mishnah? Can that count as lechem mishnah? So he says he thinks yes. It's also a very common shayla, right? A person, it was lechem mishnah, now there's only one challah left, and the person doesn't have lechem mishnah. What's he supposed to do? What's he supposed to do? So often they'll have a challah in the freezer. A challah in the freezer, so that can be used. Aye, but it's not roi lachila now. You can't eat it now. Yeah, it has to thaw. It has to thaw. So the answer is, Rav Moshe says, it is roi lachila. It's not like it's ain't a roi lachila. It's roi lachila. It's just right now, in the state that it's in now, because it's frozen, you can't use it. But it's called roi lachila. You could put it into hot water, and then it'd be roi lachila. So therefore, you can use it as lechem mishnah, even in a frozen state. That's what he wanted to suggest. An interesting shaila of lechem mishnah comes up when someone makes a kiddush. You know, when we make a kiddush, often we're makel not to use bread. Right? We're makel for the sheet of the gaonim that we can kiddush makom sudas even on mizonos. So where's the lechem mishnah? You're making kiddush, but there's no lechem mishnah. You normally assume you need lechem mishnah at kiddush. So what's going on over here? So rather, it's interesting. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes that if you make kiddush with mizonos, you should have two pieces of cake. You have to do it on two pieces of cake because you need lechem mishnah. Very interesting. That's the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Others disagree. They quote from other poskim that you don't need two pieces of cake. I mean, maybe some people would love to have two pieces of cake, but you don't need it for lechem mishnah. You want to have it, you know, for the kiddush itself. That's your business. But in terms of lechem mishnah, we're not machmir to have lechem mishnah for mizonos for the kiddush. Right? We assume that lechem mishnah is a din in pas. So if you make it to be mekadesh on mizonos, then you're assuming that there's no din of lechem mishnah. Lechem mishnah is pas. That's the ikar. Some of that's the ikar suda. So there would be no din of lechem mishnah in the ugos themselves. Okay. How do we make the birchas hamotzi on the lechem mishnah? So the Shulchan Aruch there in Siman Reish Ayin Dalet Tziv Aleph says that you should cut from the bottom challah on Friday night. You put the two challahs one on top of the other and cut from the bottom challah. What does that mean? You know that ain't mavir in ala mitzvahs. So how can you cut from the bottom challah? It means you're going past the top challah. Sort of strange. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Taz that what you should do is put the bottom challah closer to you. So you're making the bracha on the challah that's closer to you, but it should be on the bottom. That's only Leil Shabbos, only Friday night. Shabbos day and Yom Tov, whether by day or at night, we make the hamotzi on the top challah. And we're botzer from the top challah. What kind of a strange notion is this? What, Leil Shabbos, we do it from the bottom? Yeah. So the Ramah says the tam is api kabbalah. I don't know what the tam is. It is the tam api kabbalah. That's the way it should be done. But that's the thing. That's what you should do. So many have that minute. That they make the hamotzi and the botzer from the bottom challah only on Leil Shabbos. The pashup challah is we should do it on the top challah. That's the, it's top and you make it closer to you and that's it. But no, on Leil Shabbos, the minig is to make the hamotzi on the bottom challah, but to put the bottom challah closer to you, so you're not going to be mavar ala mitzvah when you cut the bottom challah, which is sort of less choshev. Top challah is more, I guess, is more closer to the cutting. It's closer to the knife, right? So put the bottom challah a little bit closer to you, so you'll make the bracha properly. And finally, the Gemara in Bracha says Rabbi Zera was botza akula sherusa, that he would cut for the entire meal. What does it mean for the entire meal? So Rashi explains that he would cut a very big piece of challah that would last him for the entire meal. What does that mean? So l'chor, what he means is that to be mechabe v'suda Shabbos, he wanted to have a big piece. He wanted to show the chashivas v'suda Shabbos, so he'd cut a very big piece. It's sort of hard to understand how to do this. I mean, cut a big piece. I guess he would cut a big piece and then take pieces out of it. It's hard to believe that he would take that big piece and, like, stuff his mouth with the big piece. It's just, it's not derech eretz. But he would cut a big piece, and I guess put it on the side and take from that piece. But he would show a chashivas for the suda by doing that. The Rashba in Brachas has a different pshat. Rashba says, akula sherusa means that he would cut all of the chalas. Not only the chala that he's making a motzi on, but all of them. Meaning he cut straight down. Cut the two chalas. He has lecha mishnah, so he would cut both chalas. Botza akula sherusa, on all the chalas that he had. What does that mean? So the Vilna Gaon explains, based on a Zohar, that there's an inyan that you're supposed to have yud beis chalas on Shabbos. You should have 12 chalas on Shabbos. As a zecha to the lechem aponim, right? They would bring lechem aponim, a new lechem aponim on Shabbos. They'd exchange the lechem aponim from week to week on Shabbos. So the Zohar says, as a zecha to the lechem aponim, there's an inyan to cut both chalas. What does that mean? If you cut both chalas for shalashudis, you have two. You know, 2 times 2 is 4. You have 4, and then 4 times 3 is 12. So through all the meals, you'll have 12 chalas. That's the, and that's what the Rashba was alluding to. So some people are machmer for this. I've seen that some people are machmer. They cut both chalas. A couple of chalas every single meal. And I guess whatever is left over, they'll eat. But they hold of this gon, machmer for the minhagim of the gon. So they'll cut both chalas. But that's what it's based on. It's based on an understanding of the Rashba and the Gemara in Brachas. The batzah kula shirusa means that there's an inyan to cut both chalas. Zecha to the lechem aponim. There's an inyan to have 12 chalas by the end of Shabbos. So we cut both chalas in order. With all the cuttings, there'll be 12 pieces. Many are not machmer for this Rashi. Many assume that the pashup shot is like Rashi. So they will cut, even people who don't cut a tremendous piece. You'll cut a big piece. Cut a big piece to show a chashivas to the suit of Shabbos, and then you'll break off from that piece that shows the chashivas of the Bitsiah, the chashivas of the suit of Shabbos. So that's certainly what one should do.